I was thinking Major League theme, but it's all good. It's all good. I'm feeling very good on a Monday afternoon. Man, am I having a good time. We got a football game tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later this afternoon. We had a bunch of football games over the weekend. The Jays, red hot. The Yankees are out there getting spanked right now by Minnesota. Spanked by Minnesota right now, the Yankees. So it is a positive Monday, and I'm loving things. Loving life.
It is. I've got two things. Was checking on you, just your mental state of how things were last night after your guy was having a rough go.
Oh, that's irrelevant. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers, the Jeopardy host. Yeah, okay. I don't care about the Jeopardy
that's
host.
That's because I was more concerned because are you one of those guys waking up today saying love starting next week? Are you just like, hey,
no, no, what he's thinking is I can't wait to bet money against Jeff and the blow-up doll in the studio who thinks that he knows everything. And I'm not kidding, man. I love the guy. And we come to an agreement together, okay?
Right.
But he's got one more shot. And if he blows the next week, got to go sniff. And I might have to call Gord, Davis Sanchez. I don't know what I'm going to do with that guy. Because enough's enough. There was picks that weren't even – there was things that were just tossed around by him, i.e., Texas not winning – or Houston not winning a game.
All season. Adamant. He said multiple times, I'm reviewing their schedule. I can't find a win. Not only did they win.
They blew them out.
Blew the doors off Jacksonville. Like, they're – moving up the power rankings. Houston looked good yesterday.
Can't find a win for Houston.
I can't find a win on the Houston Texans schedule. I think this team is going to go 0-17 this year.
Hey, Brooksy.
Yeah, there it is. Al's brother's on the board with a Brooksy. Well, listen, you guys are on the clock tonight. You're picking the game, Baltimore at Vegas. The Ravens are laying four, so they're a four-point favorite tonight, Baltimore. You guys will have your pick later this afternoon. Highly anticipated. The masses are waiting to see what Team Al Dog bring to the table today. And listen, you got the Browns. You were lucky. If that two-point conversion connects, you guys would not have covered that number either. But there was a lot that came out of it. The Aaron Rodgers stuff, that's a bad look on him. There's no other way around it. Like, you spent your whole offseason complaining to management, and last time I checked, the GM wasn't playing yesterday in Jacksonville, right? The president of the club wasn't out there playing. Rodgers looked terrible. That pick he threw to start the second half was horrendous. That was Jameis Winston 2 years ago in Tampa. Now Jameis Winston, he gets LASIK eye surgery. The guy looks like Joe Montana out there. It's crazy, but that was ugly, man. The defense was brutal. The Packers were horrendous.
There were some great games yesterday, though. There was some really great football yesterday. I know Bills fans came up. I mean, I don't know what the hell was going on there.
That's another one, Al's brother.
I watched that game, and I was like, I was worried about Big Ben. You know, he wasn't moving that great, but he looked like, you know, you're coming in. I was like, okay, what's this guy going to be like? And then you see Buffalo get ahead, and you're like, okay, this is not going to go well. And it was like, what was it? It seemed like a 90-second moment.
Right,
like,
the turnaround in the second half.
That's it. It's done.
Like, that first half by Pittsburgh, I watched almost every snap of that game. That was the worst first half of offense I think I've ever seen out of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Ben Roethlisberger looked like he had won a contest.
Dude, he runs like Al's brother. If you see that guy run, the straight-legged style, if you put him beside Al's brother sprinting, it's the same person.
It was the exact same person. And he had no protection. They had no rhythm, no run game, nothing. And yet Buffalo was only up 10-0 at the half. And I remember thinking that you had to get up 17-0, 21-0, because that Steelers defense is really good, and they performed really well yesterday. But it's panic in Buffalo, man, because that's a game they should have had. Josh Allen didn't look that great. Right. Their defense started to bend a little bit in the second half. But this is what we get every year, right? We joke about Overreaction Monday. It's every single year. It's Overreaction Monday that Aaron Rodgers now sucks and he wants out and he's trying to implode the team. And
Jameis Winston's going to win the MVP. It is Overreaction Monday, Hazy. But when a season is only 16 games, performance like what Green Bay put out there or the Buffalo Bills what it does is it gets people's attention.
Absolutely, you're
lying to yourself if you're in management or you're a fan of the team, and it doesn't get your attention. Because if they lose the week after, all of a sudden the percentages come out of an 0-2 team making the playoffs, and they're not that good.
Well,
so it good teams that lose week one, there's nothing really to worry about, and everybody believes in Allen and in Rodgers, but it really gets people's attention because the percentages, if things go south at week two, week three, then you're in trouble, man.
And we have one full week to talk about it. They're not playing again tonight, you know, in hockey and basketball, baseball. I felt like the Blue Jays played like 5 games in 2 days. Like, every time I turned around, it's like, oh, my God, they got 22 runs.
22
like they were playing
runs
against
yesterday.
The Bad News Bears.
Honestly, that Baltimore ridiculous. Team, I was thinking about this over the weekend. We have to find this guy. He's out there. There is someone out there who is somehow an Orioles, Sabres, and Detroit Lions fan. Like, somehow has family in New York or family in Buffalo, Detroit. I'm telling you, man.
Honestly, if you admit you, like, come out, because we want you on this show. I want to put him on.
Oh, full, like, an hour breakdown. This is like an interview where we need to break down the depths of your mentality and your rationale behind being these fans, because that Baltimore team, as great as the Jays were, and let's be honest here, they were real close to dropping the first 3 games. They lost the opener on Friday night. They come alive late in the seventh inning to
10-5.
Steal the first one.
Yeah.
Get no hit through 6 in the second game. It's like, ooh, man, this was real close. And then all of a sudden they're breaking records where they put up 27 runs over the course of 4 innings. No one's ever done that before in Major League Baseball history.
It was unbelievable.
So as great as the Jays were, Baltimore is absolutely ridiculously awful.
I am all about Team Blue Jays. I'm so positive. I'm so happy for them. I've got one little nugget. I don't know how you guys felt about this, but Charlie Montoyo should have gone over to the other dugout and scissor kicked that guy.
Robbie Ray was like, getting chirped. And
That's Austin Matthews, the type of season Matthews had last year. That's what Robbie Ray's having right now. And you're letting the opposing manager yell at him? I didn't like
he's
that.
He's the only guy that had some intense. Imagine that team getting dummied like that, and they're throwing that jacket around, and they're dancing around and celebrating homers, and they just had zero. That's the worst baseball team that's ever like gone.
They're
to the
lifeless,
field.
Man.
They're terrible. They're embarrassing.
Steve Phillips was on with First Up today, and Kolnick was asking him about that, and Koliakvo, and his response was, you know, Hyde, the manager, he's like, we are so bad. We're so awful. And Robbie Ray's out there essentially accusing him. It felt as if Ray was thinking that they were either tipping pitches or, you know, there was like a Houston Astros element to what they were doing, because they were laying off sliders that no one lays off. You know, and that's what Phillips was saying this morning, that Robbie Ray was like, how is this team, District 5, the Baltimore Orioles, laying off my stuff? I'm up for the Cy Young here. There's no way this is possible unless someone's tipping you off from the dugout. And I guess that was what the accusation was, or what Robbie Ray was insinuating anyway.
Right.
So Brandon Hyde, the manager, was like, A, we suck. B, we're the worst. C, we're going to lose anyway. So he starts beaking at him. And I don't know how often that happens. It's just there's no one in the crowd, and the mics are so hot, they picked them up. Chirps happened back and forth, and it was clear as day.
I'm sure
I'm with you. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, Montoyo, I don't know. You don't have to go over there and confront the guy, but you start yelling and screaming back. And maybe Charlie was doing that, and we just didn't pick up on it. But someone's got to get up on that top step and say, that's my boy out there, Robbie Ray, and I don't want to hear it from you.
That's my point.
The manager, sit in the dugout and do your thing. If another player's yelling at Ray, that's a different story. Player on player.
Maybe they're so bad that nobody even cares. It's like that, man. Hyde is over there chirping, but they're so bad, nobody even cares. Let's dummy these guys and get the hell out of here. If there's somebody that they were contending with, there would be a massive problem. But that's just an embarrassment over there. Oh, my God.
I know. But at that time, didn't they lose that game? Like, the Jays lost. That was the first game.
That was Friday night. Yep. That was game one.
I just didn't like it for the optics. You're right. Baltimore is a disaster of a team. They ended up dummying and taking them to the woodshed. It's a non-factor, to be honest. But it's just a slight layer. Like, I was like, you know, Montoyo's job, he's done a really good job this year. It seems like he's a player's manager. Mm-hmm. The guys like him. He's a really nice, likable person. But that wasn't, you know, your sixth pitcher. Like, that's your stud.
That's your ace. That's your guy. Like, and Hyde was going at him. And
I took a little bit of offense to that as a kind of a you know, a Jays fan just sitting there going, somebody going to say something? Tell this guy to shut his yip? You
know, I wonder if though has hit the nail on the head. It's like, these guys are such a joke that let this guy bark and yell and scream, and it's not even worth it. Wait till they get a hold of what we're about to lay on the line here. Like, Baltimore is the epitome of U-Hauls packed, booking weddings 2 days after the season comes to an end. And they've known that since this time last year. Like, a couple years ago was when we had, what's his name on, that we had on, Gary Thorne. We had Gary Thorne. Yeah. That was 2 years ago, Gary Thorne.
He basically got told to leave because he was chirping them. He's like,
no, I've had enough.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Gary Thorne had enough. What do you think Gary Thorne is thinking today? And you're right, he's not associated with the team anymore because he had enough. And they're like, we need someone to pretend like we're a legitimate baseball club here. We can't have the voice of the team carving us every single day. 2 years ago, Gary Thorne had enough.
For the love of gracious, come on.
Do you remember
through their
that
loss
play?
Record. Go through their loss record the last 3 or 4 years, man.
Oh,
it's hunch plus.
Horrendous.
But do you remember that play? It was like a harm, like it was a pop fly or something that should have been a routine. And he lost his mind on the broadcast.
He did. He was like, how do you not cover third base on that play? And he was beside himself.
Yeah.
And that's now tough. You can understand why. He was tipping it off, right? We're not paying attention. This guy knew what was coming. It was like he knew a storm was coming and no one was paying attention.
No,
he saw the
enough.
Iceberg. He saw the iceberg. He said, we might want to turn left here, guys. And everyone's like, no, we'll just keep cruising here and see where it goes. Yeah. So shout out to Gary Thorne and anyone that supports the Baltimore Orioles. But on the flip side, the Jays are now officially in a playoff spot.
Awesome.
It's just amazing what's happened in 2 weeks. They were 9.5 back of the Yankees, and now the Yankees are losing again today. They're getting spanked by Minnesota. They're down 5-1 in the seventh.
Wow.
Now, you got a test coming up, right? You got Tampa in for three. You got Tampa, I believe, 6 of the next 9 games you're playing Tampa.
Ugh.
So this is a reality check. Tampa's going to show up. You know exactly what they're going to bring to the table. But now you are the pace car. The Jays are the pace car. Let's see how comfortable they are in that. You know, they're young and the bats are hot, and you're not going to play Baltimore every single day. So let's see what you bring to the table. And, you know, Hyun-Jin Ryu got rocked again on Saturday. He's going to give you 4 or 5 more starts. What is he going to bring to the table? Where's this bullpen going to be at by the end of the month? But you can't ask for anything better than this, considering where they were two and a half weeks ago. You know, the Jays are officially in a playoff spot, and I'm not sure Oakland and Seattle are going to keep up. We'll see. Crazier things have happened, as we've noticed over the last 2 weeks. But if it's Jays, Yankees, Sox, that's going to be a lot of fun, you know. And I think the city's embracing it, and we'll see how it all plays out. So we're going to catch up with Scott Mitchell from the park a little bit later this afternoon. Mark Feinsand coming up from MLB Network in about 10 minutes. And Al's brother will make his picks, or you guys will. You got your one pick tonight with the Monday Nighter. And it's
big, 5 hunch tonight.
Yeah, this is one where you can really make up for lost ground, because you lost the Thursday Nighter and you dropped 2 or 3 yesterday.
Dude, let's just put it on the table. We were so close to going 0-4.
Very close to going 0-4. Yeah. A 2-point conversion away with Mahomes being the quarterback of that 2-point conversion.
Dude,
think about
like,
how lucky that is.
And I keep telling you that Cleveland is just the hype machine, just like the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, you got that team on the ropes. If they think they're ever going to take the next step, how do you not close the deal there? Like, how do you not close the deal there? That play with Mahomes where he actually admitted to saying, piss on it. I see the guy down there. I saw his hand. Like, give me a break, man. That was a hope play that turned out to be a
that
touchdown.
Worked out. And right. It works out always for Mahomes. Like, this is what is terrifying. Look at two things that have happened early in the season. All right, there's a million different things to break down. 16 different games as of tonight. Every, you know, half the league feels good, half the league doesn't. There's injuries. There's all these different stories. When the dust settles, there are two that matter in the end, based on what everyone is trying to achieve, and that is win a Super Bowl and who you have to go through to get there. Tom Brady with the ball in his hand, down, I believe it was 2 on Thursday night, had too much time on the clock. What does he do? Charge down the field, sets up a game-winning field goal. That's story number one. Tom Brady, if you give him time and you give him an opportunity to win the game, he's going to win the game.
Yep.
Mahomes, the same thing. You keep him in the game, which he was. Cleveland dominated the line of scrimmage. They were mauling guys on both sides. They were in the driver's seat. But the door was open, just a crack. And if you give that to Mahomes, he will storm through it. And he will beat you. And that's all that really matters. Everything else is a distraction in terms of the big picture and where we think we're going here with the Super Bowl. Because in the AFC, you got to go through Kansas City. In the NFC, you got to go through Tampa. And the fact of the matter is, they were both close games, but who won in the end? Brady won. Mahomes won. And that's what's terrifying. And in the AFC, you know, Baker Mayfield was pretty good. But pretty good is not going to cut it against Mahomes. Josh Allen can be pretty good. You got to be great, man, to beat this dude. Got to be great to beat this dude. Like, he is not human. And it's just week in, week out. All he does is go out there and punch out wins. Yeah. It's wild.
Well, that's why it's so shocking that Rodgers had an off day. Because usually Rodgers is the guy that, like,
He's in that conversation.
He is. He's in that conversation every day of the week.
Right.
You know, so.
And that's a neutral site game, too, right? That wasn't in. It wasn't in New Orleans. It was more of a pro-Packer crowd in Jacksonville. The Saints had to deal with the hurricane and being everything that came with that and throwing them off. Full credit to New Orleans. Like, full credit. They came out and they steamrolled the Packers on both sides of the ball. They looked great. But the Packers did not. And one thing they have going for them is the other three teams in their division lost. And I believe they're at home next Monday night against the Lions.
Yeah.
So you get a win if you're in Green Bay. You're 1-1 after 2 weeks. You're probably going to be okay and you can forget about it. But that if they struggle against the Lions or lose against the Lions, the only story that will be hovering in the NFL is Aaron Rodgers imploded this team. And all he did was complain and host Jeopardy and want out, and then this is how he shows up. And what happened here? Has he poisoned the room? You know that narrative's coming. I don't think it should be there yet after 1 week, but after a couple against the Lions at Lambeau,
We'll chat then. That's why I asked you about it, because it is Overreaction Monday, and I wondered if the Overdrive version in Green Bay was talking either about love or talking more rationally, like you are, Hayes, going, it's a one-off here. You got Detroit next week. Mm-hmm. Like, let's see how it unfolds after that one.
Hayes,
you know,
give me one storyline. Give me one storyline that you think could possibly be an overreaction, but there's a little bit inside you that thought maybe that really is a problem.
Well, if I were to go with one, it would be a combination of the two teams we talked about. It's probably Buffalo, though. It's probably Buffalo. We had Dan Patrick on last week, and he pointed to that. He looked at Buffalo and said, I think they take a bit of a step back. You know, like, they threw the ball 50-plus times. They still don't have a run game. That would be a little bit concerning, is that maybe Buffalo, everything connected for them last year, and will it connect for them again this year? But it's too tough to say through 1 week, man. Like, it's really too difficult to say, you know, I've got a true read on this, that, or the other. Because, you know, there's too much runway. We're into 17-game seasons now. That's another thing. They're playing 17 instead of 16. So
I just like tracking the panic meter. I like it starting to be, oh, don't worry about it. Everyone tries the Aaron Rodgers attempt when he told everyone to relax. But then when he continues to go south and nobody's relaxing, for some reason it's sick, but I like tracking it.
Well, listen, if you were an awful team last year and you were hoping to take a stride, if you're in Atlanta right now, you're panicking again. Like, they got crushed by Philly at home. Crushed.
Yeah, Chicago's garbage too. Brutal.
Chicago looks brutal. The Giants look terrible. Awful. Like, Daniel Jones looks terrible at quarterback. The Jets are brutal. The Jags are brutal. Like, those are the ones where there's a chance one of those teams in 4 or 5 weeks is, like, 2-2. And you're like, actually, they're not that bad.
Yeah.
But right now, you're probably thinking in those markets, yeah, we are this bad. And we were this bad last year, and it's ugly. Detroit, they made it respectable in the fourth quarter, but they were getting their doors blown off as well. They're not going to be much.
What about the kids? You know, the young QBs, how did they hold up in your eyes?
I didn't think, you know, Lawrence struggled, and Zach Wilson really struggled in Carolina. Trey Lance, you know, he had a nice throw at one point. He got in there for a touchdown early in the game. Justin Fields ran one in last night. But Mac Jones didn't do much and lost. right? Tua and the Fish walked in there and picked up a win. That was a significant outing yesterday.
Chicago can go ahead and put Fields in. Like, you don't have to worry about hurting Andy Dalton's feelings anymore.
Right. That's going to happen. It's
it looked like last night, like you've seen in the past, Drew Brees and Hill, they would mix and have different looks. But that's not the case in Chicago. No. It's like they want to just use the kid, but they don't want to offend Dalton. It's like, just stop it. It's over.
Yep. That's right. It's a matter of time. It's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 weeks. That Matt Nagy, man, is he despised in Chicago, their head coach.
Oh, my God. If you want to search a guy's name.
It's brutal. It is brutal how much heat he takes. He takes so much heat.
Dude, he reminds me so much, even the look of his face, the guy that the Jets just got rid of.
He was in Miami before. What's his name? We've already forgotten him.
Oh, yeah, the guy that looking at flies in the press conference. He's the worst head.
Adam Gase. Yeah. Oh,
he's a bald Adam Gase looking at flies. He's just outrageous.
Speaking of which, maybe the biggest storyline of the weekend was Drew Brees and his new lettuce.
Salad. Yeah.
His hair looked...
I might have to do that.
It looked phenomenal, Noodles.
What?
It's fake.
I saw his hair last night, and like all I could say, all my original thought was, it looks darker.
Well, it's I didn't notice anything.
Lush.
Shot the LeBron. Like it... He filled it in. Like
yeah.
I think he filled it in the front, too.
Oh, there was some turf builder in there. Like, he hired someone to come in and seed it and water it and build it
back up. He flew his Strutties guy in Turkey. He must have.
Yeah, he was 100% in Turkey and making some noise over there because that hair came. It was unveiled. It was like a red carpet for his hair all weekend. Awesome.
I want a before and after. If somebody can get me a before and after, because I noticed it looked a little bit darker, but I did not notice the full solid rebuild.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Scott's turf builder up top, and it looks phenomenal.
If somebody took a divot and stuck it back on the forehead. And like
it's
significant. People sent me side-by-side.
The Flex Seal guy grabbed a divot off the fairway and slapped it on his head.
Literally, somebody sent me side-by-side pictures of what, you know, his headshot when he was playing to what was going on the other night, and it was – significant. He added an inch at least to the hairline in the front.
Oh yeah,
I think
it's luscious, man. It's a beautiful head of hair. Mark Feinstein coming up from MLB.com and MLB Network. His take on the Yankees imploding again today, but the outburst by the bats over the weekend for the Jays. Are they officially in the driver's seat for the wild card spot? Are we talking a home wild card game? Forget just getting in. Host it up here at the Dome. That more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Speaking of bad habits, I touched on what Al's brother is up to with his ridiculous picks that's costing people money, basically myself. But the producer of the show and the man behind the scenes got into an engagement on Twitter about their behavior in sporting leagues that had my jaw dropping because... discussing getting thrown out of men's league ball hockey and men's league slow pitch. And
it's not good.
It's actually worthy of,
Joe
I think, a summit.
All right, let's see.
The King Daddy Topper was Joe from the Bridge coming over the top saying, the refs at least knew who I was when I came into the... I just was like, no way, man. I'm not doing this
I can't believe this. Let me just lay this out for everyone, okay? So the Grappler runs everything on the radio side for us. He's been with us for years. We love the Grappler. He works hard. Right. And yet he's evidently an absolute loose cannon when he's not around us. And Joe from the Bridge is taking over and doing things for us on the TV side. But Joe from the Bridge has been our friend for 10 years, ever since we've been at TSN. Anytime we reference Joe from the Bridge, this is who we're talking about.
Right.
So the Grappler on Friday night tweets out, Friday night plans, Beer League Baseball playoffs, Friday night reality, get tossed from Beer League Baseball playoffs. So the Grappler gets tossed from Beer League playoffs, which it later came to my attention means another game suspension. He's out for like the championship game next weekend.
All right, Brooks.
I don't even know how you get tossed out of a beer. That's the key words here is beer league.
Right.
Like it's not World Series or anything. Like it's, people are smoking during the game.
Jamie,
like
we're talking about the two people that we don't ever want to be around because we would – They're the reasons why we don't play in the leagues. It's just ridiculous.
I'm in the same boat as you, dude. I can't do it either. I can't be around playing. Like, I consider it exercise in a good time. Like, I couldn't imagine snapping on a ref, a guy who probably doesn't want to be there anyway.
Imagine sitting in, like, a normal office space and seeing Daryl putting the foil on at his desk saying, I'm prepping for ball hockey tonight.
Right.
Like, just working himself up into a lather to go be a goon at ball hockey. It's outrageous.
Well, Joe from the Bridge, so this is probably the best part. He responds to the Grappler's original Beer League tweet by saying, joking aside.
Now, all seriousness.
I got tossed from many, many men's league games on the ice and during ball hockey. It's our version of the big leagues, which the Grappler responded, exactly this.
Man, like, oh,
so
man.
They're in the big. There's Field of Dreams for the Grappler and, you know, Miracle on Ice.
And somebody followed that up with, this is nonsense. And then they followed it up with, that's actually good camaraderie for the show.
Right.
And I just thought, who are we dealing with here?
Well, we have to, I'm not sure what day we always do the Al's Brothers, like send it, drop it or whatever. We might
the
have
filter.
To bring them, the filter. We might have to bring them in on the filter and say, just hand over your passwords to your Twitter account.
Right.
Because we've already pointed out the Grappler on a couple occasions, like the Randy Johnson, Nate Pearson tweet that heard round the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how Joe from the Bridge
is pretty active out there too. Just he'll come at us from time to time. He's come after my takes. You know, hey, I heard your take. Interesting, but here's the truth. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm hearing.
If we want to get after it, we can get after it on Twitter, I suppose. I think we need a full interrogation later.
Yeah.
What we're probably
going to have to do that.
Get them both on at the same time, the last 5 minutes of the show, because we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, we have to really get a full psych evaluation of the Grappler and Joe from the Bridge.
Let's ask Mark. See if he participates in any, like, beer leagues.
Well, and if he does, would he ever have the audacity of chirping an ump to the point where you get tossed? Like, mm-hmm. The ump's probably like a 17-year-old kid making $10 for the game, and the Grappler's
exactly.
In his face like Lou Piniella in a World Series.
Exactly.
Here he is from MLB.com and the MLB Network, Mark Feinsand. I don't know if you play beer league hockey or basketball or baseball, Mark, but if you do, are you a guy that gets heated? Would you ever get in the face of an official and maybe get tossed from a beer league game?
I coach rec basketball, which is about the closest I can get to this conversation. I've been coaching rec basketball for my kids probably for about 8 or 9 years, and I got one technical foul once for opening my mouth a little too much. But other than that, I'm typically fairly reserved when it comes to that situation.
That's what we like.
That's what it should be.
Normal. Yeah.
Exactly. In other words, you're normal. Yeah, that's right.
When my kids played Little League, I was always astounded at coaches who were, you know, berating literally 15, 16-year-old umpires. You're like, God, you're like 45 years old, and we were coaching 10-year-olds. Like, what are you doing?
But, did you see anything ugly? Like, did you see any parents get into altercations, or did you see something where you're like, I can't believe I'm watching this?
No, mostly just coaches yelling at 16-year-old umpires was about as bad as it got. You know, fortunately, the one technical foul I got was, you know, an umpire who was older than me, so at least I wasn't stooping to yelling at a teenager.
Well, and the best part is that that manager is probably in a full baseball uniform with New Balance shoes on, you know, 50 years old, massive boiler, yelling at the umpire.
Right, pocket full of sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah. But he's right in there, right? He's managing, looking for the pennant, looking for the beer league pennant. Well,
hey.
You got to do what you got to do, and it happens, I guess, and that's what we've concluded here. And up here in Toronto, we are officially scoreboard watching because the Yankees are losing 5-2 in the top of the eighth. I guess, you know, they're in trouble. The Yankees are in trouble, and that is a good thing for the Jays because these two teams are on polar opposite sides of positive vibes right now, where the Jays have taken over the Yankees. I can't say you're not going to look back because 2 weeks ago the shoe was on the other foot. So how difficult is it for you, Mark, who's very objective and in the game and works in the game and has been around it for a long time, to get a read on where this wild card race is going in the American League?
Well, certainly you'd have to like the team that's 11-1 in September versus the team that's, you know, pretty much the reverse record to this point. Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, you know, I was covering a couple of Yankee games towards the end of August, and you're like, wow, this team may never lose again. And all of a sudden, it wasn't talking about wild card. They were talking about could they catch Tampa Bay. Clearly, that's not going to happen. And the Yankees are, you know, I think today with the news that Aaron Boone came out and said they're moving Gleyber Torres to second base and DJ LeMahieu's going to play third, and now they're looking at Gio Urshela as the shortstop. This has panic move written all over it, doesn't it? Where you start moving guys around and reassessing your lineup and who's playing where with 2.5-3 weeks to go in the season. Is this the time to be doing that? I mean, maybe he feels that it's a move that has to be made, but certainly the Yankees are grasping right now for straws and looking for any way to sort of stop the bleeding and turn things around, while Toronto's just going to try to keep riding the wave and, see how far this can take them.
What is the perception outside of the Toronto market of the Jays? I mean, certainly they can put the bats to the ball, but, you know, is this a team that is coming? Did everyone expect them to kind of be, in this position or battling for a wild card? I mean, from a talent level, from a projection, what do you see from the Jays and where do you think they can take this?
I would say early in the year there was definitely a thought that the Jays were going to be one of the teams that were fighting for a playoff spot. You know, things weren't going so well. By the end of August, I'm not sure people were looking at them as a team that was going to be really in the mix in September. But, you know, you get hot at the right time and then you have a couple other teams go cold. I think people look at this team and say, wow, Vlad Guerrero is really good. This lineup is really good. And when you look at what Robbie Ray is doing and a couple of the other guys in the rotation and, they're Berrios, since he's been over there, they're going to be dangerous in a short series because, you know, if your pitcher has an off night, this team's going to make you pay. I'm still not sure people look at them and say that's the team to beat coming out of the American League if they get to October, because first of all, you're going to have a one-game playoff to worry about, and that's always a crapshoot. And Tampa Bay is fantastic, and the White Sox are having a great year, and the Astros have some pedigree. So it's not going to be easy, and I don't think anybody's looking. But I'll tell you what, if, you know, we've seen teams get really hot in September and carry that into October, and if the Jays keep playing like this, let's say they go 25-5 over their final 30 games, no one's going to want to see them on the other side of the field come October.
With Mark Feinstein of MLB.com and the MLB Network, Vladdy is on pace here for a triple crown, or he's legitimately pursuing it, and he's in first in two of the categories, and I believe he's right behind in the RBI chase. The last time we saw someone complete the triple crown was Miggy back in the day. He won the MVP that season. From an analytical standpoint, Mike Trout probably, quote-unquote, should have won it that season. But Triple Crown, Miggy, he had a spectacular year. He ended up getting it. It has felt like a foregone conclusion for 2 months that Shohei Ohtani, because he's a unicorn, is just going to get it. But if Vladdy hits 50 bombs, Triple Crown, and drags his team to the playoffs,
that's MVP.
How is it not at least a compelling argument come October who should be the MVP?
It is, and I think the fact that, look, if Vladdy had been putting up these numbers and the Jays were still 8 games out of a playoff spot, I think it would have been a harder argument to make, because what Ohtani is doing, I mean, unicorn is the only word to describe him, because we've never seen anything like him before, and I don't know that we'll ever see it again, even if other players attempt and succeed at doing what he's doing in terms of playing both ways. To be leading the league or tied with Vlad for the home run lead, 44 home runs, while also pitching the way he's pitched, he's remarkable. And he's the most fascinating person in baseball, and it's not even close. That said, even if Vlad doesn't win the Triple Crown, if he is first in two of those categories and third in RBIs, I think right now he's fourth in RBIs, or tied for third in RBIs behind Abreu and Perez, and he's tied with Devers, and Teoscar. I think, you know, if he carries the Blue Jays or helps carry the Blue Jays into the playoffs, it's going to be really hard to look at that season and not put him first on your MVP ballot. I think some people still will, because Ohtani, what he's doing is just so remarkable. And for Ohtani to have numbers, at least power numbers, in the same class as Vladdy, the batting average is nowhere close. The OPS is very close, and obviously Ohtani's had a much better season on the mound than Vladdy. It's going to be a really fascinating thing. I must say, I usually love voting for the MVP award. I'm really happy I don't have that vote this year, because I think it's going to be a really impossible choice to make.
Mark, we touch on Vladdy's upcoming contract probably twice a week. I mean, what the hell is that going to look? Is it just going to be you own half the team, or I don't know? I can't even imagine what this guy is going to be looking for.
Yeah, there are certain guys out there. I mean, you know, before the year, you looked at Tatis and Vladdy and Soto and Acuna, and you said, well, Acuna's locked up on a very team-friendly contract, but Soto, Tatis, and Vladdy are certainly going to be looking. And this was before Vlad's big year, obviously. You know, Tatis landed himself a $341 million deal. Soto, all, you know, signs point to him looking at, you know, 400 or even becoming the first player to approach a $500 million contract if he's able to, you know, continue doing what he did in his first few years. But if Vladdy's going to be putting up triple crown numbers, and you have to assume that he's not going to sign a contract until he gets to free agency or maybe is a year away, he's going to be looking at a lot of money. And whether or not that money can come from Toronto remains to be seen, or whether or not somebody, if he gets to free agency, there are going to be plenty of teams trying to line up, you know, big, giant contracts almost with you know, blank checks and saying, you tell us what it's going to take. He's a presence. He's a star. He would sell tickets. I think I would love to see him spend his whole career in Toronto because I'm a big fan of seeing guys play for one team their whole career. You know, growing up watching baseball in the 80s and into the 90s, you got used to seeing Cal Ripken in an Orioles uniform and, you know, Tony Gwynn in a Padres uniform, et cetera. And, you know, we've talked about, really, that's not a thing that happens anymore, which is why when you see a guy like Tatis sign for 14 years with the Padres, you're like, God, I hope that guy just stays in that uniform his whole career. It'd be great if Vladdy could. Remains to be seen if it happens.
With Mark Feinstein, we had Gary Thorne join us a couple of years ago. It was right after he blasted the team when they made a routine play look like the most complicated play in the history of baseball. And we just asked him, 2 years ago, like, how tough is this, Gary? Are you having a difficult time getting through the season? And here's what he had to say.
No, I've had enough.
So that was 2 years ago, Mark, and they're worse today, I think. Like, the Jays just dropped 27 runs on this crew in four innings. How is it this bad, and why would anyone in Baltimore believe it's going to change in the next 2 or 3 years?
I'm not sure why anybody would believe it. I mean, I think a lot of Mike Elias, I think he's a very smart guy who obviously was part of that, you know, rebuilding and success in Houston. But this is already, what, year three of their Elias era? And you sort of, you know, when a new GM takes over in a situation like that, you sort of, everybody maps out the five-year plan. But, you know, this doesn't look like the beginning or, you know, year three of a five-year plan. It looks like, you know, next year is going to be year one of a five-year plan. So
right.
The one thing I will say, they've built up their farm system a lot. I think in the latest rankings of farm systems, they were like second or third in the majors. So they've got some guys, you know, AA, AAA, who are sort of pushing. And I think next year you could see a guy like Adley Rutschman, you know, get to the big leagues. We saw, you know, Mountcastle's having a nice year this year. They've got some young players who could be on the verge of making an impact. The problem is that all of their top prospects are hitters. And I don't know who's going to get people out, and clearly nobody's doing that right now. So, you know, and you start to see some of the hijinks we saw this weekend. You know, clearly it's getting to some people, and, you know, this can't be – I know there's only 30 managerial jobs out there, but this can't be fun for Brandon Hyde, right? I mean, this is going out there and just knowing that you're, you know, going to get your head handed to you almost every night. It's got to take a toll at some point. You know, I don't know that a managerial change does anything there. But yeah, it's tough. I feel for Orioles fans right now because it's a proud franchise that not too long ago had a lot of success. And, you know, you think about, what, three playoff trips in 5 years with the Adam Jones crew. But that feels like an eternity away from where they are right now.
Yeah, it really does. That was in 16. They played the Jays in the wild card game.
Yeah,
Jays
12, won 14, that. And 16.
Yep, that's right. And then the Jays bottomed out with them, and now the Jays are back in a playoff spot, and Baltimore's nowhere close to it. Always great catching up with you, Mark. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Mark Feinstein of MLB.com, MLB Network Insider, and seems like a relatively even-keeled human being, which is always a positive as well. Doesn't get tossed from beer league or rec basketball or anything like that.
Exactly.
So it's all normal. Good. Yeah.
It's normal.
So we'll interrogate the grappler later, and hopefully we can get Joe from the Bridge on too and get to the bottom of all this. And
Ridiculous.
Al's brother's coming up. And, yeah, there's a lot of things we need to, you know, poke and prod, I think.
Yeah. Al's brother's in trouble. Up. Basically, he's in trouble. He might have one more week, and that's it.
Well, like, I don't know. I mean,
I've got my mind on something tonight. I just got a tweet from Aaron Karolnik talking about a certain team's opening night the last 4 years, and I think I know where I'm leaning.
I know where Al's brother's leaning. I know exactly who he's picking tonight, and I know what the reasoning will be, and it's fine. I'll let it play out. You know, we'll see. Team Al Dog will be on the clock tonight. Marcellus Wiley coming up in the next hour. Harold Varner III coming up, your boy, HV3.
He's my guy, man. He is my guy.
He hits it a mile off the tee, and he's up here working with Golf Canada and RBC, and we'll tell you more about that. We'll catch up with Harold. We're looking forward to it. Scotty Mitch from the park, Al's brother, and yourself on the clock with picks later on. There's some Leafs news out there as well. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Marcellus Wiley, Harold Varner III coming up in the next hour. We're getting some Leafs news and notes coming out, informal skates and what could be happening and what's going on. We'll tell you about that in the next hour. And the U.S. Open is officially behind us. Just an incredible run for Layla Annie Fernandez. She has officially put her name on the map. She lost in straight sets on Saturday, and you'd have no idea that that was the case. The ovation she got, the amount of love she received up here, completely warranted.
Yeah.
And then Medvedev does the impossible by not only beating Djokovic, in straight sets he took him down yesterday. So, I mean, just an incredible tournament. I didn't think Djokovic could be beat the way he had been playing.
I agree. I thought it was just a foregone conclusion that he was going to win. That's it.
Seemed that way. And for a guy who's that dominant, it was kind of tough to see him lose. You know, like generally you're like, I want to see the behemoth get taken down here, David and Goliath. Yet because history was on the line, chance for him to win the slam, I was like, I feel like we're getting cheated here. But what are you going to do? Medvedev, he rolled through Felix Auger-Aliassime and then rolled through Djokovic. Yeah. But Canadian content of the U.S. Open was off the charts.
Didn't Medvedev get in some hot water in New York a couple years ago with chirping the fans? Or I don't know. He said something or did something controversial.
Yeah, playing up to the fans in New York is like, it's a real, like every player feels an obligation to do it.
Sure.
Right? Like, because they're so loud, they're so rambunctious. And if they're on your side, I kind of felt for Emma Raducanu, who won the women's side of things, because it was all about Fernandez. Like, she gave an incredible speech, and she played to the crowd really, really well. And it was like, okay, here's the winner. What do you have to say? You know, like, what's your problem? Why aren't you as, you know, lovable as Layla Annie Fernandez? So that was kind of a tough act to follow for someone who actually won the tournament.
But they kept her on stage, too. Like, usually when you lose, you make your speech and you move on. She's, like, standing
Take the dish and beat it. But, no, it was a full meal deal.
She got an encore. Like, she got an encore to come up. You know, and she said was incredibly gracious.
She became a mega star. Like, she should have every endorsement, everything dialed in. All of it. She deserves it all.
It was Mary Jo Fernandez who was doing the on-court interview, and when Layla was when she was waiting to first speak and the crowd was going nuts, she's like, man, they love you. And all I could think of was, again, there's the winner of the tournament standing beside her. And people are like, yeah, I guess you're okay too, whatever. Like, good stuff. Wins in straight sets, younger than her, 18 years old, born in Toronto, Ontario. We should point that out. A little Canadian content there.
Yeah.
And it was just all about Layla Annie Fernandez. And I enjoyed watching her play, though. We got into it, man. My wife and I, we were all over. We came home Saturday. We were at a wedding on Friday. It was awesome to do that. Felt normal outside, outdoors, drinking. And
were your ears burning? Because you...
I heard someone mention to me last night at the soccer game, a buddy of mine or a guy I met there, another parent of one of the kids, like, man, the boys were giving it to you on Friday. Like, I can only imagine.
That's
like,
the standard procedure. If you're not on the show, you'll get abused.
Yeah, I figured I would.
Like, who gets married on a Friday night?
Like, well, like, that's my decision. Like, that's my call.
Whose wedding was it?
It was my cousin. Well, man, it's COVID. They were supposed to get married last summer.
Yeah, and they're just trying to squeeze it in now.
It's a squeeze. They're running off weddings down in Niagara like it's Vegas.
What's your cousin's name?
Sean. Sean and Kathleen, congrats to them.
A goon move, Sean.
That was a spectacular weather. Beautiful weather out in a winery.
Did you cut loose a little bit?
Dance floor or what?
The rug was being dismantled. There was rug dismantling. Yeah, I was cutting some rug and feeling it. And everyone was just
letting
loose.
Did you get the old 35? How about those Leafs this year? Or how does that transaction go down?
I can't find anyone that feels good about the Leafs. I've never experienced anything like it. Like, that doesn't mean that they won't be good or a playoff team or whatever. And I'm not even saying that people are thinking they don't have talent or won't be good. What I'm saying is everyone is disappointed, jaded, and mad, upset. I have not come around one person who's like, I'm willing to give them a pass for the Habs. It happens. Can't wait for the year. Everyone is rattled with this team. I don't think I'm alone. I'm sure you guys have had the same interactions.
Well, we talked about it early on, but you know, ultimately it's like hurry up and wait now. Now you got to wait.
No, but there's a different attitude. It's hurry up and wait is one thing. We'll come back and get into it.
Three wins to start the season, they'll be fine.
Well, we'll see. We'll come back and get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.